Chapter 34. The skeletons clawed at his face, his eyes. The stench of their rotting bones and decayed skin was suffocating. Nath felt he was in a living prison of bones, and even with all his great strength, he could not get out.
Get off me!
He spit out. Their green eyes glimmered. Their jaws bit at his ears. Bony fingers pulled out his hair. Nath couldn't imagine a worse way to die. Surrounded by a living tomb of the undead. Their horrible faces reeked of death and evil. He struggled, stretched, strained, rose to his knees only to topple over again. Skeletons were hard to stop. Not for him, but there were too many. He was trapped.
I've got to be smarter than mindless skeletons.
In his writhing fury, a puff of smoke billowed from his nose. His golden eyes widened.
Stupid.
He sucked in a great gulp of air.
Burn, undead! Burn!
A geyser of hot flames erupted from his mouth. Supernatural screams filled the streets. Skeletons burned and twitched. Body parts fell off. Tendons were incinerated. A burning skull's jaw fell from its face. Nath shoved his way up, opened his arms wide, and took another deep breath. From all directions, the skeletons closed in. Flames blasted into them. Slowly, Nath spun in a circle with dragon fire blazing from his mouth. An inferno of burning skeletons surrounded him, screeching in bizarre misery. The fire spread from one skeleton to another. He kept blowing until everything burned, and he could breathe no more fire for a while. Hundreds of skeletons fell in small pyres of fire, rattling once and rattling no more. It was a beautiful thing, watching evil burn. The stench was almost pleasing. Nath snorted, pulled his shoulders back, nodded, and waded through the flames down the street, brushing aside a burning skeleton that wandered into his path. His ears picked up the sound of rotting shoes and bony toes scraping over the cobbled streets. He picked up his pace and trotted toward the edge of the city. With the back of his arm, he wiped the blood from his eyes. His limbs were throbbing. Fighting endlessly was one thing, but exhausting your fire was another. It drained him. That's why younger dragons were easier to capture. They didn't have as much fire as the older ones, and Nath, for all accounts, was still a young dragon. And he'd overdone it.
But I cooked him good.
Ears peeled, he shuffled through the streets, avoiding any sounds of skeleton soldiers. He tilted his head upward, keeping in mind the ghosts and the towers that he assumed would be on the lookout for him. Still, it was odd. That ghost had seemed surprised it hadn't noticed him earlier. He wondered why that was.
Perhaps it's because I'm a dragon. They wouldn't be looking for dragons, but instead people. Ignorant ghosts.
He realigned his thoughts. In the throng of battle earlier, a thought had struck him. Perhaps the entrance to the mines didn't lie on the surface of the city, but below it. From ground level by the river, he'd observed many stairs on the edge of the rock, similar to the one he came up when he battled the spiny-backed crawler. It never occurred to him that one might mine something from below, rather than above. But this city was different, to say the least.
Why not? Nothing else makes any sense.
Finding the edge, he jogged over the rocky terrain. Unlike the rest of the city, which was well laid out, the edge was the beginning of a cliff. Here it was clear that this enormous rock had been ripped up out of the ground. As far as he understood it, the floating city moved, but a bit slowly. It stayed its course along the wind currents of the river. There was a crater where the city had originally lain in the earth. He hadn't seen it, but he'd heard about it. With whipping winds in his face, he pushed forward along the edge, scanning for any sights of a stairway. He'd walked hundreds of yards through the rubble, finding nothing out of the ordinary. He halted. He could feel eyes on his back. Everywhere. Above, he noticed dragons on the roofs of the buildings, glaring down at him like hungry vultures.
Come on!
Nath said, wagging fangs steel at them.
Get a closer look!
These dragons weren't big. Some were bigger than him, others smaller. But he counted almost a dozen of them, watching his every move. Their long serpentine necks stooped down, and their faces wore hawkish looks. Their dark wings and tails told him they'd been turned by Barnabas. Waving his sword once more, Nath turned his back to them and continued on.
I wish we could have one final fight right here, right now. I'm sick of these monsters.
He came across another stone-cut staircase leading down the side of the floating city's cliffs. The staircase was wide enough for three men, and the slope was easy, curving along the cliffs. Gradually it narrowed, and the stairs became steeper. Nath could see the river again, a blue-green line between the trees. The wind tore at his hair and slammed into him. He dug his claws into the cliff to steady himself.
This almost makes me miss those skeletons.
He felt small again, an ant on a hillside trying to save the world from destruction. He eased his way down the last step, which ended at the edge of the rock. The next step was the river.
Why would they even have steps here? They have to lead somewhere.
He started back up the stairs. The scraping of bone on stone caught his ear. He dashed up and peered around the bend. Skeletons advanced, filling the stairs as far as he could see.
Great.
Down the steps he went. A stair of rocks floated nearby, similar to the one that got him here to begin with. The first step floated no more than 20 feet away and several feet downward. It wasn't very big, though. Not quite as wide as the span of his arms.
I can make it.
The first skeleton appeared. Its body rattled with every step on shaky legs. Its eyes were bright green fire.
I have to make it.
Winds whistling through his ears and battering his clothes. He squatted into position, eyeing the distance. If he missed the mark, he'd start all over again.
This might be my worst idea ever.
The skeletons closed in, crowding one another. The gusty wind ripped two off their feet, hurtling them over the edge of the cliff.
Good. Two down, 1,000 to go.
Steps away, the first skeleton was almost there. He jumped. Having accounted for the wind this time, he sailed and landed right on target. He hugged the stone.
Yes!
He sat on the stone, a big dragon man on a tiny island. The first skeleton took the leap. It sailed several feet and plummeted downward. One right after another, they plunged to their second deaths into the depths of the river. Nath laughed.
It's true, but the old dwarfs say, every glum day has a cheery outline.
He'd watched over a dozen go when the madness stopped. The skeletons, one and all, stopped moving. The nearest few began to commune with one another. Seconds later, they set their weapons aside. Some actually sheathed them in their scabbards. They locked hands and arms, forming a chain, and started lowering themselves over the edge. Seconds later, they were swinging like a rope. Coming this way, Nath popped into standing position.
It's always back to another thing dwarfs say. Evil is unrelenting.